We're thinking particularly about mothers and Mother's Day today, and I'm sure that we've all experienced the love of our mothers and how wonderful that is and how tender that is. But you know, there's one who loves us even more than our mothers do, and that's the precious Lord Jesus Christ that Andrew's just been singing about for us. Now, I was handed as I came in this morning a little poem about mothers, and I want to read this poem to you this morning because I think it probably summarises those things that are so special about our mothers. It's a very short poem, so I'm going to just read it as it's been handed to me. And it says this: "It's a difficult task that a mother's assigned, to always be loving and gentle and kind. For there's surely at times when she'd rather be a little less busy, a little more free. But you've never quit, Mum, just because you were tired. And these are the reasons you've loved and admired. For you've given your heart and your motherly touch to your home and your family who love you so much." And I think that just says it all, doesn't it, about our mothers this morning. They're very, very special to each and every one of us. And where would any of us be without our mums? We wouldn't all be here for a start, let alone be able to be singing today and be able to really enjoy with our mothers this special day of theirs. Now, I had planned to sing a little more, one or two more pieces, but the old clock up on the wall here is tending to get away from us a little bit. Now, there's a man who has come to us this morning who's prepared, and he's got a message to bring to us this morning, and I think it's about mothers and all sorts of things about mothers, but he hasn't told me any of the text of it. But I'm going to ask Russell Todd if he'd come forward this morning. He's got a special message prepared, I know, for today. I'm going to ask Russell if he'd come forward now and just give us that message that the Lord has given him for us. Thanks, Russell.
I just want to bring a couple of contrasts to you this morning. Now, if I was to say I saw a mother and a wife, the same person of course, walking along a road, clutching at her head, blood pouring down over the side of her head and over her clothes, sobbing. I think she'd almost wailed herself out of breath. You'd say, what a picture of a mother to start off our service, our talk this morning. That was a mother who, and a wife who had, she just happened to be the second wife in a family, and she just copped a big stain through the head because of jealousy. She was the younger wife, and that seems to be the lot of a lot of the younger wives in the land of Papua New Guinea. I'm talking about some years back now, because things have changed a great deal. But jealousy between the older and the younger wives was always very real. If I was to talk about another mother and another wife, she's an older one, of course. She's coming in and she's holding her arm. Why is she holding her arm? Well, the fact is, if she let her arm down, the bottom half would just go like that. And the reason for that, of course, is that this great big lump of firewood that just happened to be very nice and convenient got laid across her arm and broke her arm because the tea wasn't ready. Dad came home, tea wasn't ready, and so she copped it. Not a very good picture of a mum, is it? Not a very nice thing of something to happen to a mother. This was the lot of mothers and wives in pre-Christian Papua New Guinea. This was some of the lesser moments that a mother and a wife could look forward to or not look forward to in that land at that time. We say, well, what a horrible state of affairs. And you know, I want to shock us into reality. That's the same picture that you can paint of many families, of many relationships here in Australia today. Unfortunate, as it might seem, but it is the case. We think of some of the things that mothers and wives have to endure. I can recall court cases where a mother has gone to court charged with manslaughter or murder because she took the ultimate step of taking the life of her husband. And when the trial comes and all the facts of the case are put before the court, we've got the witnesses, we've got the family, we've got the friends all coming up and standing up for this woman and telling what a terrible life she lived at the hand of her husband. A life of abuse, of suffering, in many cases of unfaithfulness and desertion. And this is a lot of women today here in Australia and probably here in this city of Brisbane. We say, well, why did we introduce it with those things? Because I want to tell you a little bit about the change that has come into a lot of places, the change that has come into a lot of homes, into a lot of families, into a lot of relationships. Changes that have come in because of a new relationship in that home with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I've mentioned it before about changes socially that have come about in Papua New Guinea because of Christianity, because of education and things like that. I want to talk to you about a mother. A mother who was there with a babe in her arms, and you see the love that's in her face for that child. You see a well cared for child, and you see a husband that's doing all he can to lighten the burden of motherhood of that mother. As he helps in the garden, as he helps with the chores of the day, because their common love for the Lord Jesus Christ has brought them together in a union that is just so different to the union of a husband and wife in the earlier days. And you know, that's the change, that's the difference that can happen. And that's why in so many cases in Papua New Guinea there's just such a radical difference now in the social scene as to what it used to be, particularly amongst families. And you know, I've got a note here, the family, marriage, the home are all things that God intended. We just happened to watch Home and Away on TV in the evening. It's around tea time. I think it's a pretty good indication of the way people think today. And this last week showed just how people think, how people accept various things, and the tragedies that come into the lives of people because of the decisions that are made. I see it at work. I see young people who are living in relationships, no intention ever of marrying, will they say so at this stage. Why commit yourself? Why tie yourself down? Is the comment that's given today of young people in regard to marriage. You know, we get back to the scriptures and we find that in Matthew 19, it's got these words, for this reason, for this cause, for the cause of coming together as a couple, to create a family, for this cause, for this reason, a man leaves his mother and father and cleaves. The word is cleaves, Dad. It's joined, inseparably joined to his wife. And two become one flesh. That's Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 and 5. Then we're reminded when we go back to Psalm. Psalm 127, verse 1, tells us that it's not something that we can do in our own strength. It's not something that we can manage in our own strength. Marriage and the home is something that the Lord's hand has got to be in. Except the Lord builds the house, those that build it are labouring in vain. They're doing it in their own strength. There are just so many problems that are going to come upon them. And so we've got a picture of a family, a changed relationship, a changed social scene, but a family unit. You know, never been a mother. I've been a father, but never been a mother. What a wonderful privilege it must be. First of all, a parent, but then especially a mother. Just trying to think of that song, I think it was George Beverly Shea first sang about the wonders of holding a newborn baby. The joy and the pride that must come into the heart of a mother when she holds that new baby. And she cares and tends and nurses and nourishes that baby. There's always a special relationship between a mother and her child. Probably far greater than that of a father. The child's hurt. The child is injured. First one they run to is dad? No, it's mum. Okay. They know where they're going to get the most sympathy. They know where they're going to get the most love. Dad's like, come on, I'll put a band-aid on. Mum, what's mum do? Gives them a hug first and says, look, it's all right, I'll fix it up for you. Okay? Mum attends to the hurt first and then the injury second. Dad's very practical. He looks for a band-aid first. You know, children, and of course if there's no children, there's no mother. Children are heritage of the Lord. That's Psalm 127, just two verses down from that other one we read about the Lord building the house. But just for a few moments, I'd like to talk not only about the privileges and the joys of being a mother, but some of the responsibilities. And the, you know, the scripture gives responsibilities. As we read through the scripture, there's just so many blessings that we have. But you know, usually blessings are conditional. We mightn't think of that. Blessings are conditional. So many blessings come because of our actions. You know, when we cleave and we love the Lord, we open up ourselves for His blessing. So many times the scriptures talk about, if you keep my commandments, if. There's so many conditions. You know, with many... That's the word I'm looking for. With many privileges, there comes a responsibility. We think of high office in employment, in government, in corporate situations. With that high office comes a responsibility. It's not just all privilege. We had a new general manager came to James Hardy a couple of years ago. His responsibility was to turn the company around. And he said, I'm going to turn it around because the buck stops here. He said, it's my job. And if it doesn't happen, I'm to blame. He said, and I'm going to make it happen. So there's responsibilities. We're to provide for our children. We're to provide for them. This is an instruction to both fathers and mothers. And in 1 Timothy chapter 5, it tells us that we don't provide for our household, for our children, those that are in our house, we're worse than those who don't believe. Then we've got a responsibility not only to the things that are temporal, not only to our bodies, but to the spiritual needs of the children. They're a heritage of the Lord and we've got a responsibility to teach them. We'll go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6 in the Old Testament. It talks there about teaching the children. Teaching them all the things that I've told you, the Lord said to them. Teach them all my statutes, all my laws, all my ways. Teach them. Write them on the doorposts of your house. wherever you are, write them so that I'll see them. When you're walking with them, when you're sitting with them, wherever you are, teach them. Why? So they'll know what's right and wrong. So much emphasis today is put on children, isn't it? Of they should be able to make up their own minds. Hey, where do we go wrong with it? We don't give them the things that they need to be able to weigh up in making up their minds. They're allowed to be free agents and make up their mind, but what are we going to tell them? There's so much of the heavy side, of the world side put on, what about the Lord's side? So they can take a true perspective of what's in front of them. We've got a picture there in Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16, of some mothers who brought their children to Jesus. They were wanting them to be blessed. Now, they were busy. The disciples were busy. The Lord was busy. And the disciples said, look, take them away. Can't you see? Jesus is busy. Jesus said, no, don't do that. Don't send them away. Bring them. Allow them to come to me. Because of such is the kingdom of heaven. It goes on to say that he took the young children. He took them up in his arms and he put his hand upon them. And he blessed them. The mothers brought the children to Jesus. We've got the picture of Timothy. Paul, writing to Timothy, he tells him about this. He said, I know that from an early age, both your grandmother and your mother have taught you the scriptures, taught you the ways of the Lord. And he said, I'm sure that now you'll stir up your remembrance of these things and you'll grow in your faith. And so he was reminded of his heritage and how he'd been taught by his mother. You know, as I said, there's responsibility. But with every one side, there's always a second side. And so children, those of us the children here, we've got to learn from our mothers. How can mother teach unless the child learns? You know, a jungle doctor fables record we had once. The monkey was there trying to be taught by the, I think it was the giraffe or something, about some of the wisdom of the jungle. And he said, are you learning? He said, no, I'm listening to you. You know, you can listen, but you can also learn. So children are to obey their parents. A woman's responsibility, a wife's responsibility, a mother's responsibility to her husband is to be faithful to her husband and to give honour to him. When we look at Colossians chapter 3, we see those words there and we think, oh, that's demeaning. It's putting a woman down. It's not putting a woman down. Because there's no way at all in those scriptures there is there anything to indicate that a woman is less by nature or less spiritually than the husband. What it means is that there is a God-given relationship which the woman is to observe. It's got nothing to do whether the man is better than her or any more privileged than her in that way. Why is that? Because it says, as it is fit in the Lord. Because it's a picture too of the relationship between Christians and their Lord. The woman is in no sense either naturally or spiritually inferior to the man. Mother. What a wonderful position it must be. I've mentioned that mothers love their children. They care for their children. We've got a beautiful picture of that painted in Proverbs chapter 31, haven't we? How the mother just gives so much of her time. I know, I get up late in the morning. I got my clock fairly well designed for my morning's program. And I manage to be able to walk into work on time. Just don't miss the lights. Okay. Why? Because my lunch has been made, and I get to work and I sit down at lunchtime and I open my hamper of salad, all nicely laid out, meticulously laid out. It's a picture to look at. And the fellow said, "You didn't do that, did you?" I said, "No." I said, "It would come all pre-chopped if I put it in there. Already, I wouldn't have to cut it up at lunchtime. It's all been looked after and cared for by someone that loves me." You know, I'm going to close with this. There's a book in the Pidgin Old Testament called Sindown, or The Way We Live. And it's actually the book of Proverbs. I mentioned earlier about Proverbs 31. And starting at verse 10 through to the end of the chapter is that wonderful picture of a virtuous woman. And I like the Pidgin version of that verse. It's so much more colourful and graphic than the English one. It says, I'm going to read it in Pidgin. "A thing manny like Mary thing Mary, you got good fella passing through, huh?" And that's the way they say it, huh? You know, there's something in that. I reckon a man wants to marry a girl who is of good character and nature. All right, by him, he hard work through long finding. If that's the case, he's going to work hard at finding such a person. "Kind Mary all same, he win him all kind stone, he dear to must. Such a woman is more precious than any stones." And that's what it is. That verse 10 of Proverbs 31 says that who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far greater than rubies. To finish off, I just want to give an injunction to husbands and fathers. I want you to give your wives something which will be a present to your kids. And why do you give a present to your kids on Mother's Day? The best present you can ever give your kids on Mother's Day is to show them that you love their mother, that you care for their mother. And if that's done a little bit more often, day by day, then kids are going to grow up with a real understanding of what it is to be a mother and father. Fathers, love your wives. Be honourable so that they can give honour to you.